will, and we'll have a Bible conference at the Grace Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We're just a few miles north of Winston-Salem in Sanderville. Labor Day weekend. We'd be delighted if you could honor us by visiting with us at that time. Now, I decided to copy Brother Mink and ask Dan Phillips to tell me when my time was up, and then not look at him when he got about up. I think that was a marvelous idea. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Not a myth, not a fairy tale, not a story that some preachers made up to try to influence people, but the very truth of the Word of God. Life is not worthwhile. Life is an increasing disappointment and a terrible mockery if there is not something better ahead.
Amen.
This life is not worth living if all there is what we have here. But the Bible reveals repeatedly, prominently, authoritatively, for the child of God, it's better farther on. But on the other side of the river, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. There is a song, The Toils of the Road Will Seem Nothing When We Get to the End of the Way. And I believe that all of our troubles and trials and tribulations will sink into the abyss of forgetfulness about 5 minutes after we've been in glory.
Amen.
Now, there are many technical points about heaven that I will not discuss tonight. I personally have great difficulty on the question of a new heaven and earth or a renovated earth. I do not know exactly all the details of our occupation throughout the blessed eternal ages of heaven, but I will not discuss those technical points at this time. I would say, dear friend, that when a few more weary years have passed away, then I will move beyond this veil of tears, or will have moved beyond, and we'll be gathered on the blissful shore, sweet beloved. Let us think a while tonight along the lines of in heaven. Let me say first that in heaven, we will understand the mysteries of God's providential dealing in this life. Oh, what heartache there are in the question why the things come as they do. I had a dear aunt that I love so much in the Lord, and we talk so often about the things of the Lord and have sweet fellowship together. I remember the day when she learned that she had cancer and how she repeatedly cried, why, I don't know why. We have a lot of troubles and a lot of trials and a lot of hard and difficult times in this life. God could make it easier for us if he wanted to. He could give us all the money that we could ever possibly need, and he could make us feel good all the time, and he could give us a lot of people in our churches and a lot of success in our ministry, and he could make things different for us if he would. And I don't know why God's providential dealings are as they are. We must walk by faith a little longer.
Amen.
At least we should. At least we'll try to. Sometimes it's hard to wrap your faith around the promises of God. hard to just grip into your soul as you ought to. But I have learned one great lesson, that when I can grip it just like I want to or not, it's true anyway. And if we believe now, He abideth faithful, and I know that all the promises of God will be fulfilled. And so we walk by faith, believing in the love and the wisdom and the power of our Heavenly Father. But in heaven, I believe that somewhere yonder in blessed glory land, the Lord Jesus will take His children aside, sit down with them a while, and explain to them the reason for all the problems and difficulties of this life. And I think perchance that if we don't get it at first, He'll go over it again and again until we'll understand it all. And we'll say, yes, Lord, I understand. I realize now, and I thank You for it. There is the song again. We'll understand it better by and by. But I say, dear friend, that in heaven, there'll be no mysteries as far as not being able to understand why God has dealt with us in His providence as He has. I think we'll understand the mysteries of God's providence. In heaven, we will be done with this world, praise God.
Amen.
You know, the world in the days of youth has somewhat of a strong attraction even for the children of God. But surely, after we've spent so many years here, it has lost some of that attraction. We have seen the emptiness. We have seen the filth and the wickedness of this world in which we live, and as the days go by, we long for that time when we will be delivered from this world. The Bible says of Lot that he vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing the filthy deeds of the ungodly. Oh, what a wicked world it is. What a pain it is to the spiritual mind to just walk down and observe and listen and be forced to at least live here in this world. And my dear friend, it has a harmful influence upon our spirituality. I go to church sometime on the Lord's Day, and once in a while, not as often it seems like as it used to be, but at least now and then you feel the blessings of the Lord, and you feel like at least you're getting a little bit of closer to the Lord. And I'll tell you, out there in the world, it doesn't take long to knock it out of it. It doesn't take long out there in the world to chill the temperature of our spiritual desires and our spiritual life before the Lord. The world, in spite of all our efforts and desires, the world runs off on us and has its effect upon our spiritual life. And one day we'll leave the filth and the ungodliness and the lust and the wickedness and that which is against the Lord. And we'll leave this world. And when we come back, it'll be a different place. It won't be like it is now. We'll be done in heaven. We will be done with the sinfulness of this world. And then I want to say that in heaven, we will have glorified bodies. Now, I've been trying to imagine what in the world all that will amount to. Glorified bodies. Philippians 3 tells us that He will change our vile bodies like unto His own glorious body according to the power which He's able to do all things unto Himself. Romans 8:29 tells us that before the world began, there were an elect people who were predestinated one day to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2 tells us that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 Corinthians 15:42, beginning there, tells us that it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Who can begin to imagine the blessedness of glorified bodies like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ? I have 7 great-grandchildren. They are probably the 7 greatest grandchildren who have ever been or ever will be. And I delight to play with them, but I've learned that they don't know when to quit. And it becomes a task. And oftentimes I've watched them as they just seem to, yeah, they don't run down. And I thought, boy, when you get older than I am, you won't have all that energy. But you know, the life and the zest and the running and that they have and the continuous energy they have is just a pale picture of the glory of that body that we'll have when we're in heaven. A body that is never weary and never infirm and never weak and never tired, but a body that is a fit companion for that soul, that inner being that God has given us, that regenerated inner being, a soul, a body that is no longer a drag and a hindrance, but a fit companion for the regenerated soul in the service of our God. And that body that is, we no longer say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But the flesh will be as willing, this glorified body, as the spirit. And together, through all eternity, we'll serve the Lord in that glorified body. And then, dear friends, in that glorified body, we will be free from the affliction, the pain, and the suffering that we have in this body. Some of God's dear children, all of God's children, suffer some. Some suffer more, some suffer less in this body. Oh, the children of God, my heart goes out. When I visit a child of God in great suffering, God has been gracious to me thus far. And I've not suffered greatly in this body, but I've seen dear children of God suffering greatly in this physical body, and I feel that it may come more and more to all of us. I feel old age is creeping on, and if the Lord doesn't come, or I go soon, I'm fearful what lies ahead. God is sovereign in the suffering of His children. He appoints some of them a heavier portion than others. But dear friend, the Bible says, let there be no pain among the blessed. Yonder in glory, neither shall there be a sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. So in our glorified bodies, there'll be none of the physical afflictions and infirmities, pain and suffering that we have in this life. And then I want to say that in our glorified bodies, we'll be done with sin. Oh, what a battle we have with sin. Oh, that monster. How many times has it thrown me and wallowed me in the dirt, and I'd go to Jesus and He'd forgive me, and I'd hope I wouldn't do it anymore, and then He'd get me again and again and again and again. How much suffering we have over that battle with sin. A sin nature. You want to live right. People say, oh, if I believe that eternal security, I live any way I want to. I wish I could. Oh, we have a burning, passionate a desire to live clean, holy, godly life all the time. And then the old flesh puts the brakes on. We mash on the gas and we're going fast for the Lord, and the old flesh puts the brakes on and holds us back, and we can't get where we wanted to go. We can't do what we wanted to do. And we go down. Up and down. Up and down. Oh, isn't that a miserable experience, this up and down experience that we have as the children of God. Now, there is a heresy of sinless perfection. There is a heresy that you can have some kind of experience in this life, and you can get rid of that sin nature and get rid of that battle and just have continual victory over sin. That'd be good, it just ain't so. God has some reason for that. I can see a man desiring that, and if you could get it, singing for it. And if I thought it was there, I'd get out on the altar and I'd start looking for it under the bench or wherever. But it's not there. It's not there. There's a heresy. And oh, how it disarms men for the battle with sin, and how they're not ready. And when they go down, they don't understand because they've imbibed that heresy of sinner's perfection. But there is a glorious truth of sinner's perfection. You say, well, preacher, you believe in sinner's perfection? All depends on what you're talking about. Yes, I do. Oh, yes. But not here, and not now, but over yonder, and forever. Oh, dear friend, I think that one of the chief joys of heaven. And I guess people look at heaven different. I can imagine the weary, suffering, afflicted one thinking, oh boy, in heaven, no more affliction. And I can think of the one that's just tired all the time and just jammed down with the work of life and they're so worn out. Oh boy, in heaven, we shall rest from our labor. And I think that one of the chief joys of heaven will be that we'll never, 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 through all the ages of eternity, have a sin to deal with. And I have trouble saying things and wishing I hadn't said it. I bite them just as they get out. I try to bite them to keep them from going and they're gone. You have trouble like that? Hello, dear friend, yonder, never say a thing that I want to take back.
Amen.
Never have a thought. Never, 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 never have a bad thought. Never even have a battle over, you know, sometimes we get the victory, but we bear the scars of the battle. But never even a battle, but forever and ever and ever, a life of absolutely sinless perfection with Jesus forevermore. Oh, dear friend, what a blessed, blessed part of heaven that will be. And then I want to say that in heaven, we will know none of the heartache and that kind of suffering of this life. Now, that is a physical pain of the body. But oh, the pain of the soul. The heartache in the inside. And oh, you get afflicted in the body and people come around and sympathize with you. Sometimes they can't see that deeper affliction of the soul. And our loved ones go astray and we reach after them and we pull and we beg and we plead and they go on down the way of sin and our hearts are broken. The terrible sorrows and heartache of this life, and they are worse. Far worse. How many of God's children would have rather suffered any amount of physical affliction than to suffer the heartbreak that has come into their lives in the years here upon the earth? But no more. No more. There'll be no tears and no sorrow and no crying throughout all the ages of eternity. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, but they're there too, and they'll be over, and there won't ever be any of them anymore forever. And then I want to say that in heaven, we'll receive our reward for faithful Christian service. Now, sometimes Christian people, I guess we all have the problem, we're not getting paid very good right now. You know, it's hard to live for God and serve God and face the ridicule and the reproach and the persecution and we're not getting paid for it. They're not paid for it yet. You know, I worked at the post office and I worked for 9 days and they didn't give me a penny. But on that 10th day, they paid me for 2 weeks. And so it's not payday yet, children of God. Let's don't complain and grumble. But payday's over yonder. And the paymaster is on the other side. The world's not going to praise us for our service for God, our living for God. We're not serving the world. But in heaven, we'll receive a glorious day of reward is coming for the children of God. Now, I make a suggestion and get me in trouble. I kind of don't mind doing that once in a while. I personally believe that there'll be rewards for children of God outside the church of our Lord Jesus Christ yonder in eternity. That's my personal feeling, but I'm not going to start a big fuss, just a little fuss over that. But I believe the scriptures say that then shall every man have praise of God. And I'm a little sentimental. I believe in church truth. If you say I don't, I'll be glad that we'll battle over it if you want to. I believe in church truth, but I confess a little bit of sentimentality for some of the men that I read after who seem to have, outside of the church, have had some measure of service. Not where it ought to be. But I think of McShane and Matthew Henry, and I'm sentimental about it. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I feel that there will be some reward outside the church of Jesus Christ. And I've tried to talk to priesthood boys. I take this position on church. I
give the believer, as a believer, everything I can. Because I think there's still an awful lot left just for church. The ordinances and serving the Lord as you should and under proper authority and the possibility of being in the bride of Christ. But everything I can, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the assurance of salvation, being justified, the privilege of prayer, and yes, even reward for the service, not like it ought to be, not where it ought to be, and yet sometimes how they put to shame some of us who believe the glorious truth and have greater privileges than they have. But anyway, enough of that. Yonder in the heavens, there will be payday for the children of God, and there will be that greatest of all the rewards, the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture says, a scripture says, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I wonder how much we're losing by making poor investments with our time and our money and our activity. I wonder how much we're losing. I wonder if we couldn't gain a whole lot more in the long run if we put more investment of time and money and effort in the service of our Lord. That's all that's going to really last. All the money and the clothes and the car and the home and all that we're enabled to gather together down here. One day it'll be blown upon by a puff of wind and be gone forever. And the only thing that'll last and last and last and last and be our treasure forevermore will be that investment that we've made in the service of our Lord. And then I want to say that in heaven we'll see our saved loved ones again and forever. Oh, the sorrow of separation. I guess many of us have by now stood by a loved one as they went out into eternity. Our hearts have grieved and we've never quite gotten over it. They'll say that time heals everything. No, it doesn't. But we've got more than time. We've got eternity and that'll heal it. But sometimes the sorrows of time come back as if they just happened to cause great suffering to our hearts. And so to lose a loved one, to see that life go out and that they're gone. And you can hug them and they don't hug back and they're gone. You know what it is if you know, and if you don't know, one can tell you. But praise God, when Jesus comes, He'll bring with Him those that sleep in Jesus. Will God bring with Him, and together with them will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Yonder in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, right there at the flagpole is a grave. On the grave is a tombstone. And on the tombstone is a picture of my oldest boy. How many times have I stood there, prayed, and thank God that I had him for a little while, and thank God that I believe it was saved. And thank God that the last chapter hadn't been written yet. Most of the story is written, but there's another chapter. And when that grave will open and that boy will come forth, and I'll see him again. And that'll heal all the hurt and all the suffering of all the years. When, as I.M. Haldeman said of his boy, said, sometimes I long to see him more than a hungry man longs for bread or a thirsty man longs for water. And when that longing will be fulfilled. And then, dear friend, I want to say that in heaven, we'll see Jesus Christ. There's going to be a lot of wonderful things in heaven. I've often thought, I'm an incurable romantic. I've often thought of taking my shoes off, if you have shoes, and sitting down and dangling my feet in the water of the river of life. I don't know if I do that or not, but I thought I'd like it. And if I want to, I'll do it. So we'll have whatever we want. To get down and go. How many marvelously wonderful things are there? But there's one thing in heaven that causes everything else to pale into insignificance, and Jesus will be there.
Amen.
He loved me from everlasting, but I love Him not. But there came a time when by His mighty power He caused me to fall in love with Him. We began a love affair. And that love affair, by His grace and power, has continued all these years. On my part, it has been a varying amount, up and down. On his part, it's never changed. But I can say before my God that it's sweeter now than it was then. And it goes sweeter as the days go by. And one day it'll be consummated, and I shall see him face to face with Christ my Savior. That'll be, you know, if there wasn't anything else, that's enough. That there's all the rest. I guess all the rest is just extra. Thrown in to just sort of bring Gene Hester said something about the paper that wraps up the main thing. I don't know. Lord, blessed day that'll be. All right, dear friends, I must close quickly now. And let me say to you in conclusion, be sure you're saved. Now, I'm a Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist, and I have a lot of people that say I preach too much doctrine, and I'm too interested in those things, and I'm interested in it. I don't mind being labeled a doctrinal preacher, but I do know and believe and maintain that beyond all other things, that the most important thing, and besides which everything else is as nothing, it's whether or not you're saved.
Amen.
And you're going to spend eternity in heaven.
Amen.
Last year I watched Mother die. Mother was not sound. I talked to her and I tried to get her straightened out. She didn't have scriptural baptism. She was not always a faithful church member in what she called the church. But all the time that I knew Mother, she said she was saved. And I had no reason but to believe that she was saved. And so I watched her die. I thought that's the main thing. That's the main thing above all other things. Saved. 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 I wish every saved person believed just like I did. But I don't want to be saved or anything. Are you saved? Secondly, in conclusion, I suggest that we live like people who are going to heaven ought to live. That some of the purity and the sweetness and the blessedness of over there will permeate some of our lives down here. And there's been two sermons here just now, one on heaven and one on hell. What a difference.
Amen.
And Christ is the difference.
Amen.
And then let me say this to you. That after you're sure that you're saved, know you're going to heaven, how about us? The children of Israel had been about a year at Mount Sinai. They were loading up and heading toward the land of which God had spoken such marvelous things, and God had promised it to them. And Moses said to his brother-in-law, Hobab, Hobab, we're going to a good place. We're going to a place the Lord promised us. Come and go with us, and we'll do you good. And you and I, who are sure we're headed for heaven, ought to be constantly seeking and urging upon others through faith in Jesus Christ, they might go with us.
Amen.
B.H. Carroll's a favorite of mine. I named little Joe after B.H. Carroll. B.H. Carroll said, there's some hour of that blessed land to break loose from its eternal moorings and drift down the stream of time, past our view, and we could get a glimpse of the sheen of the power of its inhabitants, and we could smell the fragrance of its atmosphere. We could hear the songs that they sing, that we'd never more be satisfied with this world. John saw it. He knew what it was going to be, and he said, come on, Jesus, I want to go. Paul was there, and he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. May the Spirit make heaven real for thy soul.
Amen.